Hey, thanks for listening to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News, however you're doing it, whether that's on the satellite radio thing or the internet thing or the MP3 player thing. We're just happy you're listening. I'm Allison Stewart. Time for our daily roundup of the most emailed, most searched, and read stories from the far corners of the internet. It's time for the most. It is such a large tract of land, I can't handle it by myself, so that's why the Bryant Park Project players join me in the studios. Ian, producer Ian, you're up first. Where's your most from?
It's the most emailed from the Orlando Sentinel. And if you imagine Orlando, what do you think of?
Theme parks.
Theme parks.
Vacationers.
Palm trees.
Big houses.
Americans in big shorts. Yes.
Right, back in the 40s, Orlando was a huge open area, just fields as far as the eye could see. So the U.S. government, the military, bought a 12,000-acre parcel of land and turned it into a bombing range.
Oh.
So come forward to today, and now a middle school and a bunch of houses are built on the land where all these bombs and rockets are still in the ground. And there have been all these incidents, like way back when a couple of boys found a cylinder, thought it was cool, took it home, bad things happened. In 2002, as all these homes were springing up, one of the tractors was dragging its, whatever the thing behind the tractor
load is,
hit a bomb, and it blew up.
Oh, my God.
And just recently, over the holiday break, the Army Corps of Engineers dug up 400 pounds of bombs and rockets from this school and detonated them.
I understand why it's the most emailed at the Orlando Sentinel. Sometimes we have recipes that are at the top of the list or a cat on YouTube. I understand why this one is the most emailed.
Right. That's news you can use.
Well, people are angry because
transfer out of that school, basically.
Yeah. Homeowners say they weren't told about the history of the land that they now live on.
Not good. Hey, Dan, what's your most emailed? What do you have?
Hey, Ali, we got most emailed from USA Today here. Macworld, the big conference.
Mm-hmm.
The main featured event of Macworld takes place tomorrow. That's where Steve Jobs, the head of Apple, comes up on the stage and makes the big announcement of whatever the big new product for Apple is going to be this year.
Josh, the engineer, is actually doing a dance in the studio. He's so happy. He's a big Mac nerd.
Yeah, big time. Josh, this most is for you. The big thing we're looking for tomorrow from Steve Jobs is going to be a new notebook computer. It's not going to be an iPhone, iPod thing. It's going to run on flash memory, so it's going to be ultra-small, ultra-slim, subcompact notebook computer from Apple. Some minor changes to the iPhone. Right now, it's only available at 8 gigs. They may bump it up to 16 gigs, stuff like that. They're also expected to announce movie rentals through iTunes. You can buy movies now. You'll be able to rent them. I gather you can keep it on your iPod or your iPhone for a couple days, watch it, and then it expires.
Which you would already know if you had got the iTunes update on your computer, and there's a little thing that says rent movies, and like, what's that?
I will click through.
So, Matt, it sounds like maybe Josh isn't the only one.
Lauren, you're up next. Where's your most from?
It's from the Baltimore Sun. It's one of the most emailed. And Matt told me this morning that he already knew about this, but it's a certain kind of exotic coffee that's, it comes from, cherry pits, which are digested by an Asian cat called the civet, and then the cat poos them out, and then the coffee is brewed, and the idea is that this coffee does not have a bitter aftertaste because the stomach enzymes of the civet sort of pre-treat it for you. Super expensive, super rare, and it's in the news in the Baltimore Sun because there was an event in Baltimore this weekend, and they sold tickets. It was $10 a head, and you could have like a small serving of this exotic, luxurious poop coffee.
I'm leaving that right there. Trisha, in the control room. Where's
fun,
your most from?
Always fun to follow up that kind of a story.
I have one of the most emailed on Yahoo News. This is also an animal-related story, but it's a different kind. Apparently, some burglars tried to smash the front window of the Pet Palace in Leominster, Massachusetts, and entered the store, but they were quickly scared away when somebody started shouting, "Rhonda, Rhonda," and so they left, and it turns out it was a macaw.
A
that
parrot?
A parrot that used to be owned by a woman named Rhonda. And so what I want to know is why, if you're about to rob a pet store, you don't kind of plan for the contingency that there might be talking parrots in there. Anyway, they only got away with $15 in change.
What a wimp. Just yelling, "Rhonda," scares away.
You know, I guess they thought there was a live person in the store. And, you know, maybe Rhonda's a town character or something. I don't know.
Maybe it was like the burglar's ex-girlfriend.
I wish I could do the Boston accent. I don't know how Rhonda sounds with the Boston accent.
Dan, you?
What's the quote?
Rhonda.
Just
the name. Rhonda.
Actually, it'd be Rhonda.
Rhonda. You're so right.
And you know, with Massachusetts place names, I'm always worried about mispronouncing them. So I did my trick of calling City Hall to get the right.
She loves to call City Hall.
It's you know written like Leominster, but I just want to make sure I had it right. And I thought I'd get a machine, but I actually got the mayor's assistant. I'm really sorry.
Oops.
You have reached the town hall of Leominster, Mass.
Rhonda is available. We'd like to talk to her. Matt, you're going to clean up the most.
I'm going to clean up the most with the most emailed, one of the most emailed. It's actually in the top 10 at WashingtonPost.com. And this is going to be slick. Look what I'm going to do here. Number 10 right now at WashingtonPost.com. The headline, What You Can't Hear Here, You Can Hear on NPR Site. And it's all about the NPR music site. Mark Fisher wrote this great piece about how he loves the music site and how, you know, it's local member stations coming together, you know, introducing music, you know, from WBGO to WFUV in New York to KUT in Austin to WGUC in Cincinnati. And it's also, there's some controversy because it kind of competes against stations that play music. And our very own vice president for digital media told the Washington Post, her name's Maria Thomas, the internet is simply very disruptive to our historical model of local stations. And the bigger point now is how are we positioning ourselves unconstrained by radio towers? Hmm. Welcome to the Bryant Park Project.
And that does it for this edition of The Most. As you know, we'll put these links on our blog. That's on the internet. No tower necessary.
I've heard that.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.